Sometimes the truth hurts, and sometimes it just saves lives. It's time now for Chew on This, our weekly look at the health and wellness headlines and media propaganda. Here's Dr. David Friedman and the poster child of sassiness, Ms. Tell It Like It Is, the author of the Skinny Bitch series of books, Kim Barnuin.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. Now, we'll get right to our first headline. This is literally something to chew on. Scientists have actually proven that chewing your food slowly could reduce your risk for diabetes. Over 700 people took part of this research project, and the results showed people were 2.5 times more likely to develop type 2 diabetes if they wolfed down their meals compared to those that ate slower. Now, if you're a regular on this show, you do know that I'm a believer in the importance of chewing, savoring your food for better digestion, but this new research brings it to a new level. Kim, those following a microbiotic diet have always preached the benefits of chewing their food, and they just so happen to have less diabetes. Could there be a connection here?
Yeah, this is a great topic to talk about. And I think, you know, there's that image of people going through the drive-thru and, you know, chowing down their food and shoving it in their face, and everyone's in a rush and on the go and in between, you know, things to do. And I think it's really important to step back and to realize, you know, why we need food in the first place. So, you know, we need the vitamins, the minerals, the nutrients, and By getting this, we need to chew our food thoroughly so our food can be broken down. You know, and also our bodies get a signal, too. Our brain gets a signal that we're full, you know, you're getting a good amount of food. You can kind of slow down the eating process. Right. But that's when you're eating normally, you're eating slow. But if you're shoveling food in your mouth, your brain's not going to get that message that you're getting full and you're going to overeat. I mean, there's so many bad things for eating so fast.
You bring up a good point about the brain. It does tell you when you're full and you're chewing more, it brings the signal. But what I love about the brain, taste buds, and stomach is they work together for digestion. For example, if you eat a piece of bread, signals from the tongue go to the brain and say, we're eating carbohydrates. Stomach prep for carbohydrate digestion. And literally, your stomach's preparing for digestion of carbs while you're chewing. If you chew fish, your stomach says, stomach, prepare for protein digestion. Protein's coming down. So not chewing your food thoroughly hinders the stomach's ability to digest your food properly, which, as we know, would lead to weight problems and type 2 diabetes.
And we're not giving our bodies the credit that's due. I mean, it's a perfectly working system, like you were saying. You know, it's signaling your body to release what it needs to for, you know, breaking down our food. And, you know, people are wondering, why am I getting indigestion and heartburn and stomach problems? Well, you know, take a look at how you're eating the foods and how quickly, and it's really just sit back, relax. Now's your time to enjoy the meal that you're eating. So important.
I see these people, Kim, race. It's like a race. Ready, set, go! And they're eating. Like, I'm like watching these people. It's almost like they're being timed. It was awful. I've watched this at restaurants, and it's pathetic.
Oh, and, right. You know, I have too.
And, you know, I've mentioned on the show, 60% of digestion begins in the mouth. So your teeth break it down. Saliva has enzymes that break down the carbs, the proteins, and the fat. And that takes place before the food reaches the stomach. So you need to chew your food wisely. That's really important. So let's go to, let's see, number two. Where's our second story? There it is. This is an interesting one, Kim. It's from Fox News. A New Jersey CVS store mixed up a children's drug with breast cancer pills. The pharmacy accidentally mixed up fluoride tablets with tamoxifen, a breast cancer drug. The store said, oops, we goofed. They look so similar. We accidentally mixed them up. This mistake continued for 3 months before being discovered. Now, tamoxifen can lead to serious side effects in children like blood clots, stroke, uterine cancer, and blindness. And this is not an isolated case. Medication mix-ups occur a lot. Kim, can you imagine getting your daughter fluoride pills and inadvertently poisoning her with cancer drugs?
No, I am so horrified by this. And it makes you, as a parent or a consumer, so freaked out about, you know, putting your life and your health in someone's hands that could completely make a mishap on this. This is so sad. And children, their little bodies are so small and sensitive, and, you know, you just wonder what's going to happen to these kids down the road.
It's awful. It's awful. And it happens with adults. These mix-ups are so common. For one reason is pharmacies employ non-pharmacists to help them fill prescriptions. And so pharmacies are real busy, especially the busy ones. They don't have checks and balance systems to prevent these type of errors. And the big thing is the generic medications that they don't have specific colors and shapes, so it's real easy to mix those up.
I would rather wait the extra time and, you know, whatever it needs to be done to make sure that, you know, the people are qualified, that there's enough help. I mean, putting people's lives in jeopardy like that is so, it's so freaky.
It's
so yeah, I would seriously like, okay, I'll come back tomorrow. I will prep in advance. I will work with them, whatever, but just give me the, you know, the right medications and my kid. That would be great.
It's unbelievable. You know, what's always gotten me, Kim, is these pharmacists. How can they decipher this lousy handwriting of most doctors? And interesting, I asked a pharmacist that was a patient of mine. I said, how are you able to read these chicken scratches? Here's what she told me. She goes, oh, we do the best we can until we get familiar with that particular doctor's writing. Kim, they do the best they can. Does that sound foolproof?
No, my God. And you're right. I didn't think of that, but you're right. The chicken scratch of all the doctors. Oh, my God. And I've done that before. I brought my son's prescription, and I'm thinking, I don't even know what this says. How do they know? They do the best they can, apparently.
She says 90% of the time they get it right. I'm thinking in my head, oh, my God, what's walking out that door 10% of the time?
Yeah. And we could be one of the 10% one of those. You know, the chances are pretty high that that'll happen to us at some point.
Oh, especially, you know, the doctor's chicken scratching. And, you know, it's not just giving the wrong prescription that's the issue. Actually, mixing these drugs and chemicals up can lead to a big problem. 2 million people in the U.S. are harmed annually by medication errors. And everyone's heard of Viagra. It's common, but there's 56 drugs that you can't mix with Viagra or can cause a lethal drop in blood pressure. There's 24 medications you can't mix with Xanax. That's an anti-anxiety medication. And, Kim, I actually had a patient almost die because her podiatrist prescribed something called Spironax, which is an antifungal medication, while she was also taking Xanax, and he didn't ask. The combination almost killed her.
You know, and I know quite a few people on Xanax, too. And, you know, I think it's, you know, this is sort of a wake-up call for people to say, okay, so I'm going to start being proactive about this and saying, this is what I'm on or this is what my kids are on, you know, really trying to take your health into your own hands and communicating with doctors and pharmacists because, you know, you see those cute commercials about the pharmacist saying, oh, wait, Mrs. Smith, you know, you're on this, and I don't think you should be taking this. I haven't seen that too much.
Yeah.
So
what you're saying is don't trust the system that people rely on that think it's foolproof. And it's not. I always say check your medication before leaving the pharmacy. I don't ever see people do that. They grab the bag. They go home.
Yes.
Open it up. Make sure your name's on the bottle. Open it up. Make sure that drug is the drug you're taking. If you're picking up a refill, look and make sure it's the same that you're used to taking. If it looks a little different, say, hey, this doesn't look like what I've been taking. Why not? And read the contraindications to any drugs you take. And that's the big thing. We may have time for an email. I got one from Samantha Koval from Arlington, Virginia. Kim and Dr. Friedman, I hear you always saying milk is a lousy source of calcium. What is a good source? Kim, what's your favorite source of non-dairy calcium?
You know, I love almonds. I think almonds are one of my favorite sources of calcium. I also like, I'm not a big, to be a big, you know, promoter of fortified drinks, but we are huge about orange juice in our family. When we're not, you know, squeezing it ourselves, I just always try to make sure I'm getting some orange juice with some vitamin C in there and some extra calcium. But, you know, figs are another great source of calcium too. I love figs. So there's plenty. There's nuts and seeds and there's broccoli. My son loves broccoli, and that's another really good source of calcium. And a lot of people don't know that, and he eats enough of it to where literally every day he's eating some broccoli and some
food. Wow. I didn't like broccoli when I was a kid. How old is he?
I can't believe he does.
Yeah, that'd be the last thing I wanted to eat. That's great. And spinach is great, but man, I don't know any kid that loves spinach. That's rare, except yours, right?
Mine, of course, does. But then I do the Popeye reference, like, look at those muscles. And so he thinks that's going to happen to him.
You know, my favorite source of calcium is called chia seeds, and they're actually an incredible source of fiber. If you do 2 tablespoons, it offers triple the amount of calcium found in a glass of milk. And chia seeds, they have no flavor, so that's neat. You can add a tablespoon to any food like without altering the flavor. Smoothie, you can mix it up, stir it in a stir fry. And yes, those are the little things that you made, the chia pet. Remember those with the little green hair?
Yes.
It's phenomenal, the amount of calcium, and science is showing that's one of the top sources, and they're just easy to grab a handful of that as well. And, of course, green leafy vegetables as well. And like you mentioned, fortified. Try to stay away if you can, just because fortified means added. You always want to go as
natural
as you can. Makes a lot of sense. Well, fantastic. We're about out of time. We got through an email and two neat topics. It's phenomenal. And hopefully, Kim and I have given you something to chew on today. Literally, chew on your food to combat diabetes. And always check your prescriptions carefully, as it could mean the difference between life and death. Read them. Don't trust the system. The system isn't always right. Trust your eyes, your ears, and your instincts. You can write us at chewonthis@yourgoodhealthradio.com. Up next, we talk to Dr. Susan Smith-Jones about stress, how to avoid it, and how to remove it from your life. Can't wait. We all need that. Stay tuned. That's up next on To Your Good Health Radio.